from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines, and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh, good morning. Good morning. Happy Wednesday, the final day of July. Wow. I know that people always say when you get older, time just moves faster. Time moves differently. And I know that every year we get to about July. Actually, you know what? A couple years ago, we were in July. I went, man, this year has felt long. I feel like this has been a long year. Good fit. But this year, hauling ass. I can't believe it's already July 31. We're past the MLB trade deadline. We're going to get into the dog days of the MLB season now. We're going to have NFL training camps ramping up. It's great. I'm so excited to be in August. And we're almost through the summer.
Oh.
Which is key for me. I'm anti-summer. Not a fan.
Okay, so I like summer. And but I don't like the smoke. The smoke is starting to roll in. And that's not good. So I don't want it to be hot anymore. But I'm okay with summer as like a as an idea.
One of my friends who's been on this program and this radio station a lot of times said he loves summer because in the summer, here's his argument for the season. You can book an early tee time and be off the golf course before it gets too hot, and then you can hang out inside all day and go outside when the weather cools down. It's like, what?
Yeah, that's
your favorite season is the one where you have to be inside all day? That doesn't make sense to me.
I feel like that's Chris Biederman.
I'm not going to name names. I will neither confirm nor deny.
That feels like something Chris Biederman. Chris Biederman would say. I just like knowing Chris.
It may or may not have been.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe.
So that's a big running. It doesn't matter. Right? Like your favorite season, my favorite season, your least favorite season, does it zero consequence to the world. That's why I like having such a hard take on it.
Okay.
I don't actually care.
I'm a big spring and fall guy.
Same, dude. Because you get the benefits of summer without it being 110.
That's true. That's true.
It's but great.
I also have this thing where I like turn red in the sun. So I try to avoid it no matter what. Like I get,
I think there's a Disney movie about
that. I get sunburned like crazy. So like for me, I'm always wearing sleeves anyways when I'm out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hoodie season. Once it's hoodie season, I'm in. If I can wear a hoodie all day comfortably.
I do like hoodie season.
If I can comfortably wear a hoodie all day, I'm in there. I'm in there. Speaking of summer. What I do like about summer is that it's baseball season, which means you should get out to Sutter Health Park this Saturday. So you got a couple of things happening with the Rivercats. This Saturday, James, you're going to be out there throwing the first pitch. We'll get to that in a second.
Yep.
The other thing we're doing is that we're giving away two tickets every day this week and next week, you and a friend or family member or rando that you find outside, whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
You and another person will be invited up to our ESPN 1320 suite at Sutter Health Park on Friday, August 16th. During the show today, we will give you a keyword that you enter at ESPN1320.com, and you will be entered to win two tickets to the Rivercats game on August 16th to hang out with us at the ESPN 1320 suite. It's going to be a ton of fun. Hope to see you there. Again, ESPN1320.com. When we give you the keyword, you're going to go enter it there, and you will be entered to win two tickets. If you've entered already, enter again. Keep entering.
Keep entering.
Enter every time.
Yep.
Tell your friends to enter too, and then only if they take you, though. Don't tell your friends to enter if they're going to take someone else.
Oh, yeah, that'd be rough.
That'd be a tough scene.
Told a friend to enter, and then they won, and then they didn't take you?
Yeah. I always joke with my I always joke with my wife about that, because she does the things on Instagram that'll be like tag your friends, tag X amount of friends to enter to win this giveaway.
Okay.
Follow this account and this account. Tag your friends. Every tag is an entry. And so she sends them to me because she tags me in them. And then I'll jump in there and I'll tag some people so we get more entries with mine. But I always joke that, like, hey, if I win, I'm keeping it. It could be some weird, like, Hello Kitty thing or whatever. Something I would not be interested in at all. Like, I might keep it if I win.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Might be mine. I'm working hard. The other thing, so you're throwing out the first pitch this Saturday.
Yep.
So get out there this Saturday as well to watch James throw out the first pitch. And then I assume you're going to be hanging out at the game.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Vibing. Yeah, I'm going to, the family's coming out. We're just going to sit and watch a game. And
that sounds like a great time.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. You have on the rundown here, and I can't wait to hear about this.
Yes.
You had a breakthrough in your throwing program?
Yes, I had a breakthrough.
Was this a breakthrough for you or the 21-year-old?
Well, both. It's getting better. First of all, it's getting better. Oh, snap.
We'll get to it. Okay, you go. You finish.
Okay, so I threw, this is 2 days in a row I've thrown, but on Monday I threw and I thought my elbow was going to, like, just, again, fall off. Like, I don't know if that's possible, but, like, I clearly
There's
have done
minimum,
severe damage.
Minimum, like, UCL inflammation. Bare minimum.
Yeah, yeah. So when I was done on Monday, I literally wrapped my elbow in ice and sat around and just kind of chilled. Then I moved the ice to the shoulder because the shoulder was like a little bit screaming.
Mm-hmm.
I went out yesterday and I'm like, oh, it all broke loose.
Feeling good.
All of a sudden I'm feeling good.
This is great.
I think a lot of it is that I've had elbow problems forever and I've learned how to, like, basically get around the elbow a lot in my throwing motion.
That's probably dangerous, but go on.
Well, no, I mean, like, when you coach Little League, you're supposed to drop it, swing it, and then over the top, right? So that's how they teach, like, if you go to, like, Big Al camp, right?
Sure.
To teach Little League. So that's what, you know, for a long time, I found that I can, you know, playing in the infield, I can just basically use a straight arm and snap with my wrist and get the ball to first base with no problem.
Mm-hmm.
The problem that I had is that my shoulder's been trashed. So the shoulder broke loose enough where all of a sudden it took the stress off the elbow and I'm able to throw
again. That's
great. So
love to hear it.
Yeah, yeah. And the 21-year-old, he's getting better. He's getting better.
Good, great.
Yeah.
Let's get him out there for a first pitch too.
It's tough because
we, like, love progress.
Both of our gloves are broken in for softball.
Yes.
So
yes. Huge issue.
So if you've played baseball forever, that's not, it's an issue, but you know what to do, but my son, who hasn't played a ton of baseball, the glove's broken in for softball, and it's a little baggy.
Yeah, you don't feel it in that. So for a long time, this is so boring. I don't want to bore people's ears off with this, but for a long time, I used an 11.25-inch glove.
Okay, yep.
Which is, that's small for a baseball glove.
Yeah.
And I was using it for softball,
mm-hmm.
where, like, the softball fit in it, and that's it.
Yeah.
Well, that's how it got broken in. So it is an 11.25-inch glove, but I still have that problem catching a baseball with it.
Oh, yeah.
Because the ball just rattles around in there. You don't like firmly.
No,
it's
totally.
It's a weird sensation.
Yeah. So I can get around it. My son struggles a little bit with the fact because he hasn't played enough.
Of course.
And, you know, again, he's left-handed. So It's not like I can't go grab another glove that I've got and that might be better suited.
Sure.
Yeah. So anyway, it's been good though. We've been working on it. We did find that we were throwing one way on the street where if he airmailed me, it could literally roll all the way to the lake.
Oh, it's gonzo.
Yeah. So
flip positions.
Yeah, we switched around.
Perfect.
But then he almost hit the Tesla twice. And
oh my
so I was
God.
Like, bro, what's happening?
Dude, gotta make a play.
Yeah.
Someone make a play. Again, that's Saturday. James throwing out the first pitch. Get your tickets at rivercats.com. Honestly, when I went out there a couple weeks ago, a bunch of my friends came, family came out. Another one of my friends was there randomly. Not because she saw it on social media that I was going to be there. She just happened to be there.
Mm.
So that was fun. You get out there, good food, good drinks,
yeah,
good time. I recommend this to you and everybody else. At some point during the game, go sit on the lawn.
Okay.
It's a great vibe out there. Wait for the sun to set, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But go hit the lawn and just sit out there. It's like, it has a spring training vibe, but the game has more consequence,
mm-hmm.
which is cool.
No, I dig it. I've sat out there, but it's been a long time.
Yeah.
So
get out there with the fam.
I'm excited. What, 6:37 start on Saturday? So
6:37 on the dot.
Yeah.
Which means your first pitch will be 9:34. So yours will be like 6:25.
Okay.
Ish. Maybe 6:26.
I'm going to have to warm up in the parking lot, hopefully.
Yeah, do that. If you can, get loose in the parking lot.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do and hope that, you know, throw. But I probably threw 50 or 60 pitches yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dang.
I was able to
get a heavy workload.
Like, even out to 60 feet, I like.
And two or three innings of work for you.
Like, look at that. Yeah.
All right, we'll give you that keyword for the August 16th game, which is a separate event. That is a sweet night for ESPN 1320 at Sutter Health Park. We'll give you that keyword coming up in a little while. All right, July 31. That's James. I'm Kyle. Jiffy Lube sponsors the program. They no longer need to get my car to 300,000 miles. Salute to Jiffy Lube anyway, because I was confident that I would have. MLB trade deadline passed yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start with the Giants. Who in the big moves of consequence, they dealt Jorge Soler, they dealt Alex Cobb, who hadn't pitched yet this year, but he was on track to return, and then they acquired Mark Canha, who's not having his best year as a pro. He's also 35.
Yeah, it happened. Kyle, we're getting old.
I knew. So if you had asked me how old is Mark Canha, I knew he was older. I knew that he wasn't like 27.
Yeah,
because when he came up, he was with, I think, the Marlins or the Rays? I think it was the Marlins. But he was a Rule 5 pick by the A's.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So when he first came up in 15 or 16, he was like 28 at that point, or 29 at that point.
I forgot he was 26. I forgot he was a Rule 5.
Was he only 26?
Yeah, he came up in 2015.
With the A's?
With the A's.
Huh. I remember him being a lot older than that.
Yeah, weird. Because they had to keep him on the roster the whole year, and
right.
Then all of a sudden it was like, oh, I think they found something here. He had 16 homers, 70 RBI in his rookie season.
I had this weird thing. Rick Tittle, who does radio now at Sirius, I think.
Okay.
I think that's where he's at. But he's covered Bay Area sports forever. He's a legend out there. And I will never forget, he wrote this piece really early in Mark Canha's tenure that said the Mark Canha experiment is over.
Oh.
And I remember being like, wait, he just got, really? It's just over? And so every time Mark Canha would have success after that, that's all I thought about.
Oh.
I just became a big Mark Canha guy because I was irrationally angry. The Rick Tittle was ready to punt on him super early.
You should be irrationally angry when somebody just calls it like that early. Like, he was really good as a rookie. But then he had a couple of rough years. His 27, 28 year years were tough.
Mm-hmm.
But then he really bounced back in 2018 and strung together a lot of really just solid major league baseball. He was always such a solid hitter. Like, you want a guy that goes up there, bats second, and will, you know, if he needs to, will work a like 9-pitch mm-hmm. at bat. That's who Mark Canha was.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I always appreciated with him. Just like, there was a point where the A's had from start to from the beginning of their lineup to the end of their lineup, solid major league hitters.
Yeah, just some dudes.
Yeah, that you're always going to get strong at bats out of. And that's what, even right now, you can watch, like, situational hitting is so bad. Like, they have a bunch of dudes who aren't there yet, who have talent, but they're not, like, professional hitters.
Mm-hmm.
And that's tough to watch.
I want to say two more things about Mark Canha, because now I'm sidetracked.
Yeah.
So the Giants acquired Mark Canha, if you missed that. Two things. One, he lives the major league life that I would want to live.
Okay.
He has a family, has a wife, and I think they have kid or kids. But his Instagram is Big League Foodie, because what he does is when they go to a different city, he goes and finds like high quality cuisine in that city and just eats his way through the major league cities.
Oh, I bet you
he posts photos of it.
Sponsored. I'm sure he doesn't even have to pay for a lot of those meals.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he's that famous, but just what an incredible way to go about it. Because I know there's some guys who, when they go on the road, they are like, I'm going to be at the hotel and the ballpark, and that's it.
Yeah.
And he's like, nah, we're here we got in on a Thursday night. I'm going to go find a late night spot. Oh, we don't have a game until the evening. I'm going to go find a good brunch spot. Like, what a great life.
That's exactly
the way to do it.
I've always enjoyed so greatly about Gary Gerald.
Yes. He does it.
He has a spot in every city. Every time they go to New York, he catches a Broadway play or two. Like, he's in it for the travel life. And it's amazing to watch. Like, all of the good foods that he eats all over the world, all over the country, just, like, amazing.
I can't, it's so fun watching him throughout the year. It'll be like, back in Memphis, where this place has the best XYZ meal.
Yeah.
Cool, man.
Sat there eating like a chicken fried steak somewhere. You're like,
that's so weird. I was literally right about to say chicken fried steak.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You're like, oh, still eating the chicken fried steak. Like, you go.
I've been doing it for 30 years now.
That's right.
That is the way. If you get to travel for work, I know that I would love to travel for work. But from what I understand in talking to people who cover sports and people who travel a lot to like the same place over and over again for work, it gets overrated. Like, it's a thing that gets old after a while. But I think that's the way you spice it up. You just have something to look forward to in that city. Maybe you've been covering the NBA for a long time and you do not have a good time necessarily in Oklahoma City, but hey, you know what? Looking forward to whatever that one spot is. That's the way to go.
Yeah, I have, like, I travel quite a bit covering mm-hmm. the Kings when I was with NBC. And first of all, you become a really, really concise traveler. So everyone has like your standard carry-on bag, right?
Uh-huh.
I have one of those. It's half the size. It fits enough for me to get in and out of like three cities.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is concise. When I walk into an airport, I walked in with no belt on.
Mm-hmm.
I have slip-on shoes. Like, I got to a point where I can get through an airport in no time at all.
Yeah.
And then I like to sit at a bar, eat at the bar, and just sit by myself. And I'm not social when I'm on the road.
Yeah, of course.
And so just a little different. But, mm-hmm. you know, I enjoyed it. But I also like being at home.
I've traveled the same way. But this is where that whole like anxiety thing comes in. I don't have anywhere to be. I'm not like a super experienced traveler. I just, the anxiety of having to like untie my shoes and undo a belt and take off. No, but before I am in the security line, I've got everything except my boarding. Everything is in a bag except my boarding pass and my ID.
Oh, yeah.
I wear slip-on shoes. So those are off. If I have a jacket or a hoodie on, that's already off. It all goes in a thing and I'm ready to go. Because I know when I'm standing behind somebody who does not have it together.
Oh.
I hate that person.
The people in the airport that don't know, like they've never been to the airport before.
If you're dealing with children, I get it.
Yeah.
And if you don't travel that often, I understand. But also, like I said, this is not me going like everybody should be like me, because that's not the case.
Yeah.
I don't actually believe that. But as a person who has like, I'm just on edge all the time, particularly when I'm traveling. And so I'm there early on purpose. I know that I have 2 hours until my flight boards and I am getting up to security. Like, I'm good on timing, but I'm still like, hey, I want to get to my gate.
Yep.
Or I want to get to the bar nearest my gate. Or I need to go to the bathroom and get a snack. So I, and the, when the people in front of me are like, oh, I got to take my shoes off. And then they go over there like, you have a belt on? Oh, I got to go get the belt. Oh, you got to remove your hat. Okay. Did you take your laptop out of your bag? Oh, I got to go back. It's like, duh!
Yeah.
Just blood pressure just climbing the entire time.
I am like a well-oiled machine. Like, yeah, I get to
the
airport.
I need to travel with you then.
I need exactly like 1 hour. I know exactly where I'm going. I have the whole thing just mapped out in my head and I just get through line and away we go.
Good.
I think we're back on the
good
air.
Good traveler.
I think we had an off-air issue.
Yeah,
early.
We're fine. Welcome in everybody to ESPN 1320. We appreciate you for listening. Sorry about not being on air there for a minute.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Not my fault. Not my fault.
It was not our fault.
Oh, when I first saw a text from the person who texted us, I went, "Oh no!" And I just, because, but if you're unfamiliar, typically a radio show is a host, and then person running the board, and then a producer who is keeping the show on track, looking for news, doing things like reminding us to say keywords, etc., etc.
Yeah.
With this program here, it's just James and I. Me and James. So the board ops job is to send us to commercial, or the technical producer, whatever you want to call it. The board ops job is to send us to commercial and make sure that the station is on air. So when I see that the station is not on air,
yep,
that is full panic mode for me. But then I kept reading and I saw it wasn't my fault and then I felt great about it.
No, we had a bird issue, I guess. This has happened before.
Who doesn't have a bird issue?
I guess.
All right. Mark Hanna. Was it? Oh, the second Mark Hanna thing.
Yeah.
We're talking MLB trade deadline. The Giants acquired Mark Hanna. We'll get to the A's as well. There's a kind of big overarching team building discussion across sports that I want to get to here. But first Mark Hanna, or second Mark Hanna thing real quick. He taught me a lot about what you're saying and not saying on the internet.
Mm.
And that players see everything.
Oh.
So I used to do this thing where I would say I'm trying to jinx it, right? I would say the opposite of the thing I wanted to happen in hopes that it would happen. Just again, okay, being silly, just a funny internet thing. Or we're having a good time, right? I'm sitting there, I'm six beers deep at Golden Road or wherever I was and catching an A's game and firing off tweets. And I said, I can't remember the last time Mark Canna got a hit. I did remember.
Yeah.
But he hadn't been hitting great. And so I was trying to like, hey, they need a big hit here. I'm going to say this. Mark Canna, it turns out, searches his name.
Oh.
Or has somebody who searches his name and sends him tweets about him. Whew. Because he replies and he's like, thanks for the feedback. It wasn't overtly mean, but it was definitely snarky.
Yeah.
It's like, I felt like I've hit the ball hard a couple of times, but da 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 da, whatever he said. And then I was
quoting his like exit velocity to you.
Literally. And then I felt bad because I was like, oh, dog, I don't like, I'm not,
no,
I don't actually, this is not a, hey, I had bought a shirt. I forget what the company was, but they did like custom player shirts. And I bought the Mark Canna one because it was really cool. It was like a bat flip season or whatever it was called. And I was like, bro, I'm a fan. I'm trying to do a thing. I didn't actually mean it. And I just, like, there's nothing I'm going to say in that moment that makes me look like anything less than a jerk.
Yeah.
And that dramatically altered how I talk about people, athletes and famous people on the internet, because people see stuff.
Oh, yeah. So as someone who has to walk in the locker room.
Yes.
You don't do that. Like, just, oh my you God. Can't be like super snarky.
Yeah.
And if you are like it's you have to be more deadpan.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Kevin Herter, three Kings cut the deficit to 32.
Right. But that's not Kevin Herter, three. Finally, he was 0 for his last 15.
Yeah.
Like, that's way different.
Yeah. So you have to be super cautious because you don't want to get into an altercation in the locker room about something you said. And of course, we did have at one point, like, a player read something that somebody in the media had said during a game, not Sacramento media, but someone, a commentator, yeah, had said about them on the air, and we had that player go out and approach that person and then get suspended for multiple games for some of the things that he said, which I'm not going to repeat off air, on air.
Dang.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
That was a long time ago, but again, someone sent him a clip of what somebody said about him on the air, and he saw it and went out to have words.
Dude, that's
yeah.
People see everything. Eliza Schlesinger. Eliza Schlesinger. She's a comedian.
Okay.
She was on a program I used to be on 98 Rock here at Odyssey Sacramento. And she was on as a guest, and she said, like, if you DM me on Instagram, I see it.
Oh.
Like, she's like, I sit around all day waiting to do my show. Like, if someone has like less than 4 million followers on Instagram and you DM them, chances are they see it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was insane to me. That's so, I just.
Yeah. No, it's wild. It's absolutely wild. Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah, so Mark Hanna saw it. But now you're happy that he's back in the Bay
Area.
Yeah,
good for him. Yeah. A Bay Area guy back in San Francisco in his home ballpark. Fingers crossed it works out for him and the Giants. But I think that the Giants, fine, whatever. We'll get into it. We'll deep dive that. I loved what the A's did. More importantly, what they didn't do.
Uh-huh.
They held on to Brent Rooker. They held on to guys like Lawrence Butler and Mason Miller. They traded Lucas Ercig. They traded 925 legend Paul Blackburn. Yep. His dad was my sixth grade teacher, by the way. I don't know if we've ever talked about that.
No, really?
Yeah. So 925 legend Paul Blackburn got dealt to the Mets, and Lucas Ercig went to the Royals. Ercig, a 29-year-old reliever. But the A's did exactly what you asked them to do yesterday on air.
Yes.
You went, if you're going to trade these guys, go get pitchers.
Well, yeah, go get double A, triple A pitchers, guys that are on the verge of being able to help you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they did. Like, they got two guys that could be in the starting rotation maybe next year, maybe the year after.
Yeah.
If they make it. If they make it and they figure it out. They also got a reliever who is putting up, 100-mile-an-hour heat.
Mm-hmm.
He's just not there where Ercig is.
Right.
And for me, like, I really liked Ercig, but I don't know that he was anywhere near as good as he was in the first like month of the season. And I would sell high on him. They got three pitchers. Well, two pitchers and a single A outfielder for him.
Yeah.
Like, that's a good little cleanup. Like,
yeah, man.
I get it.
So it's Will Klein and Mason Barnett were the two pitchers they got for Ercig, who from everything I read are mid-level starters.
Yeah, Mason Barnett.
They project that way.
Yeah, he's a third pick in the by the Royals, and he's their fourth rated prospect.
Yeah,
you got a fourth rated prospect for a setup man.
Yeah,
and two other players. I'm in.
The thing with Ercig is he's 29 years old, man. He's under team control for five more years.
Yes,
but if you're projecting out what the A's look like over the next 3 or 4 years, I'm with you. His peripheral stats are all really good. But if you get a chance to get three minor leaguers for a player who's fine, but not an irreplaceable reliever, I just think that's good work for the A's.
Well, that so, and Blackburn,
I love what they did.
Arbitration eligible in 2025, free agent in 2026. Like, this is if you are going to get off a pitcher, that's probably the right time to do it. To move away from him. So, again, 30-year-old. He's been in the big leagues for a long time, and the fact that he's not arbitration eligible yet is wild.
Yeah.
But he hasn't been able to stay healthy. And so he's on his way back, but, the A's aren't looking to win this year, and that's okay.
It's so fast. In The Athletic, and we got to go here in a second, but it says the A's got a B- from The Athletic for their grade. It says, I thought they could have pushed more to trade their best power hitter, Brent Rooker, in a market where so many contending teams were looking for a middle-of-the-order power bat. It's like, well, maybe they're trying to keep him around because he's an exciting hitter.
I hope they keep him around this summer.
I hope so, too, man. And maybe they blow it up in the winter, and we're talking about the A's as a unserious franchise this winter. But Love what they did. Fine with whatever the heck the Giants were doing. We'll talk more about that. And you had a really interesting thought on the Major League Baseball trade deadline and how it relates to the NBA and the Kings specifically. So we'll do that. We will have a keyword for you for our Sweet Night giveaway at Sutter Health Park to watch the River Cats on August 16th. We'll give you that keyword coming up. We got some Kings internet rumors as well, and we'll look ahead to some Olympic action tonight coming up on the show. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Air.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
You got jerseys. Tap into youtube.com/ESPN1320 or twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Is that going to be the fit for the first pitch on Saturday?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think you have to. I dropped a light $120 on a Rivercats jersey, so.
Oh. I thought you're wearing an A's jersey out there.
No, I was wearing a Rivercats jersey.
Oh. Yeah.
I thought it would be gauche if I wore an A's jersey. Like, they might have literally been...
Like, kicked you out?
Not kicked me out, but said, hey, you can't wear that.
Oh, that's true.
They're a Giants affiliate.
Yeah.
I know the A's are playing there next year, but there's zero trace of the A's in that stadium.
Yeah.
So, I didn't think they were probably going to be too keen on that idea, so... I snagged a Rivercats jersey. I'll wear it tomorrow. I'm a big fan of it. I like it a lot.
It's silky.
Yeah, it's not the same. It's not. So they sent us a sample jersey.
Yeah.
That is not that material. It's very different. What's yours say on the back? I spin it around. It says Hammer. your mic's in the way, but that's fine.
Here we go.
Here we go. Here it is. Turn it around, Hammer. I thought we were going to get custom numbers too, but it makes sense that it would be 1320 since that's, you know, the branding.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I did ask. I said, do we get a custom number? Because if I do, like, here's my number. If not, you know, I'll do the 1320.
Yeah. You have to.
Yeah.
It's the move. It would have been cool if one of us was 13 and the other was 20. So we stand next to each other. No?
Yeah.
All right. That's fine. Well, we're spitballing. Thinking, no bad ideas in a brainstorm. It's okay.
Like, it could look illegal in certain states. Just like 13 and 20. I'm just saying.
Why would that be illegal?
I'm just saying. We can move on.
Okay. Very good. I'm going to. All right. Hey, keyword. I'm giving away the keyword now because if I don't, I'm going to forget. So I'm just going to give it.
I won't remind you because I'll forget.
Right. That's it. Right. Yeah. Perils of doing a show without a producer. The keyword, and again, this is for the Rivercats game on Friday, August 16th. ESPN 1320 will have a suite at Sutter Health Park. We're giving away two tickets today through the rest of the week and through next week.
All right.
We're giving away two tickets to Friday, August 16th at Sutter Health Park. You'll be in the ESPN 1320 suite. We'll be up there hanging out, having a great time, watching some baseball, and having a ton of fun. Enter today, right now, actually, at ESPN1320.com, and enter the code word STEAL. STEAL.
Mm.
As in, Ricky Henderson is going to steal second base.
There it is.
And then, also, as in, Ricky Henderson is going to steal third base.
That's right.
Bang, bang.
Then he's going to hold up third base above his
head.
And
say, I am the greatest
of all time.
Of all time.
That's right.
Yeah.
One of the greatest scenes of all time.
It's really good. And then in his Hall of Fame speech saying, repeating that line, but then instead of saying, I am the greatest of all time, he said, I am truly humbled. Oh, just cut to the core of me. Shout out to Ricky Anderson. Steal is your keyword at ESPN1320.com. If you can't enter right now, if you're driving or if you're at work and can't jump on, it's okay. You can enter later. We'll continue giving you the keyword in case you forget it. Tell your friends. Tell them to enter at ESPN1320.com and tell them to take you if they win. That's a key aspect of this.
I totally agree.
Can't wait. August 16th out at Sutter Health Park. We're talking MLB trade deadline.
Mm-hmm.
Giants, whatever. There was a big argument about whether they were going to buy or sell, and they really didn't do either. They made minor moves, but I don't feel that differently about the Giants today as I did prior to the 3 p.m. deadline yesterday. They're just kind of existing.
Yeah, that's what it felt like, right? And the one move they did make felt like, okay, you're saving money.
Mm-hmm.
So it felt a little cheap. And so it's just kind of like, you know, like if you're going to trade like a guy like the Alex Cobb trade, that doesn't move anywhere.
Sure.
Just like the same thing with Paul Blackburn. I mean, he hasn't pitched most of the season. He's coming off the DL. Like, so, yeah, he's been part of the franchise, and you're going to miss him, but at the same time, he hadn't really been an impact player. I think with Soler thing, is like, oh, look at that. You're just trying to save money.
Like, yeah, or I buy into the Marco Luciano idea that they're trying to just open a lineup spot for him, which is fine, but they also didn't commit to, I think if they were committed to selling, and this is why I don't think they were selling necessarily.
Yeah.
If they were committed to that, Blake Snell would probably not be on the Giants anymore.
Well, that's true.
They could have gotten a haul for him and actually sold this thing, but I think they believe they can still compete or at least contend for that last playoff spot.
Okay.
But this is why we talked about this with Kenny, and I think it was really I think it was really on display throughout the deadline. This is not the Giants just exist. They're just there.
Mm-hmm.
Are they good? Nah. Are they bad? Nah. Are they exciting? Nah. They are the. Who's a? I'm trying to think of like an NBA comparison for the Giants. A guy who's just. They are the like Nick Batum of Major League Baseball. Or they're like just
the Atlanta Hawks. Yeah.
I wouldn't put. Oh, come on. I'm not putting the Hawks on them. That's crazy.
Okay.
No, but that's it. Like the Hawks, put it this way. Here's why that works. I don't think about the Atlanta Hawks ever.
Yeah.
The context in which I think about the Atlanta Hawks is how they could complete a three-team Brandon Ingram trade for the Kings.
Okay.
That was the context that I thought with any at any to any extent about the Hawks. I think if you're a Braves fan, I don't think you're probably that concerned with the Giants.
No.
Or if you're a pick an American League team, I guess, on the East Coast. If you're a Yankees fan, you're probably not that concerned with the Giants.
No.
They are just there. They're floating in the ether. They're the team that won three titles and had that incredible run through the early 2010s. But in that, they're just They won 107 games in a season recently.
Yeah, that's
and they're crazy. I guess. And they just, the way they operated at the trade deadline was, to me, a perfect encapsulation of what they are. They didn't buy, they didn't sell. They made a couple of moves.
They're just kind of even Steven.
They're just there.
Yeah.
And that's the worst place to be as a team. That's the worst thing you can be.
Well, and I was watching the game last night.
Yes.
And I may have had to change the broadcast to, because you could watch both broadcasts. I may have had to move from one broadcast to the other, whatever. But while I was watching, I was struck by the fact that the A's are bad, but they're so much fun to watch. They're out there ripping four home runs, crushing the ball. Like, again, they held on to Brett Rooker. He put a ball so far out into left center. It was like, holy smokes. Mm-hmm. Like they're fun.
Yeah.
You got Blade almost went into the drink. Mm-hmm. Like, the whole entire feel of the A's is like, hey, we're upstart. We're cool. We're just going to blast a bunch of home runs.
We can't get
everybody out all the time, and we may make a bunch of errors, but it's okay. We're at least fun to watch, right? We're at least exciting. And I felt like we come out of the trade deadline, and the A's made two moves that could help them in the future. They lost two players, one of which was helping them now, one of which may have helped them down the stretch, but you're not going to win anything this year. You're too far behind at this point. Mm-hmm. And so I was totally fine with their moves, but I also felt like we were watching a Giants team that had their spirit broken.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was like, hey, we might have had a shot if you did anything, but you didn't. And now we're just kind of blasé the rest of the year. We're just kind of like what you're saying, just floating. We don't really care because you don't care. You clearly don't value what's happening on the on the field, upper management, ownership. You don't care. So why should we? And they go out there against a team like the A's who, again, they made their moves. Mm-hmm. But it was like, hey, look at that. Rooker's still here.
Mm-hmm.
We still got a shot. Blade's still here. We still got a shot. We at least have, let's go have some fun. Let's go tear this thing up and see if we can make some noise and at least mess with some people.
Play spoiler, yeah.
Yeah, at least destroy like all those people who bet the under on the 57 wins. Like, all right, that's fine.
Yep.
Yeah, so I feel like there is this moment with teams where you can either, you know, help your team, give them a bump in confidence, give them a shot in the arm.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's not making a move, and sometimes it is making a move. Or you can do what the Giants did and just kind of cash it in and make the rest of the roster feel like you're ambivalent, and so should they be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's kind of, it's a tough thing. But the way I thought about it, too, was, like, the Sacramento Kings were in this situation twice in the last 2 years with the same exact team.
Mm-hmm.
And they did the same thing both times. But I also feel like one time it was the appropriate thing and the next time it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where, like, a general manager has to be able to read the room.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be able to say, hey, look, like, we're winning games and no one expects us to be this good. And then they go on to storm in the second half and win 48 games 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
The only move they made at the trade deadline was to trade for Kessler Edwards. And it wasn't even like a salary dump. It was a way to get a second round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so you get to the next year and it's the same team. Their record isn't even that much different.
Almost a just complete rerun of the previous season.
Yeah. But you got to the trade deadline and it felt like, man, this team really needs a move. It really needs a move in order to take that next step, in order to shake them out of the malaise, right? Like, you're waiting for them to like have this moment where all of a sudden they look like the team they were before fully, So even if the teams looked the same, even if their records were similar, they didn't feel the same.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think like feel is such a huge part of being a general manager, is part of team building. And you're looking at this thing like, man, I really, really wish you could have done something more than trading for Robin Lopez.
Yeah.
Right? And then waving him before he even like got, he didn't even get on a plane.
Yeah.
Like those are those moments where I think you just kind of miss.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I think the Kings have not used a trade deadline in any meaningful way except for the Sabonis deal, the mm-hmm. one out of like the 5 years that Monty has been the general manager. So,
and it's not to, that's not to say that every deadline needs to have a Sabonis deal.
No.
But it was so clear to you and me, everybody in the chatty house, everybody at Golden One Center, anybody who followed the Kings even a little bit, it was so clear at this year's deadline that, like, man, they need just, even if it's a lateral move, they need to change something.
It was like when you make a really good stew and you're like, something's missing. Something's missing. And you're sitting there like, you don't know what's missing.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea shouldn't be to just plate it. Like, mm-hmm. let's go ahead and dish it up, even though it's missing something.
Yeah, this isn't going to be a playoff stew, but
yeah,
it might like, be. Maybe people will like it.
Yeah, maybe someone will like it. No, at some point you gotta, you know, add a little salt. You gotta add something to like try to bring out a different flavor. And that's what I kind of felt like with the Kings. And then, but I'm watching it play out with the Giants and the A's, where one team is like, again, they know they're not good.
Mm-hmm.
They just had a really good month of July, but they know that they're not good.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay because we're building something. The other team is like, man, we are so mid. Can you believe how mid we are?
Mm-hmm.
And we got another 45 games of this where we're just like putting on the coasters and just like, let's see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, there's such a weird vibe.
Yeah.
You know, you are a vibes guy and the vibes being so different. And I thought about the Kings and how the vibes were different than they were the year before
mm-hmm.
and how you could have changed vibes, but you didn't.
Yeah.
And how one time it was probably the right move and another time it probably wasn't.
And just for anybody listening, vibe can translate roughly in this case to like team chemistry.
Yeah.
Like that's what we're talking about here. It was really clear that I thought just to bring this back to the Kings momentarily, I'm with you. I thought last offseason, for the most part, running it back the way they did was the right move. I saw the theory with adding Chris Duarte. I liked the vision there, where you bring in a defensive-minded guy who can help you out on that end of the floor. Maybe Davion Mitchell takes a little bit of a step, and Keegan Murray takes a little bit of a step. And you saw the vision.
Yeah.
But then by February...
By December.
Well, by December, and certainly as the trade deadline approached, they needed to do something. And I'm with you. I thought that was a miss last year. Not that again, not asking them to go do a Sabonis deal.
Mm-hmm.
Not even saying PJ Washington who is the other guy? Daniel Gafford.
Yeah.
Like the Mavericks went, because you and I have gone through that. It's really hard to piece together that deal if you're the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
But like any kind of shakeup would have been great. And I'm interested to see if Monty McNair learns from that experience, or if this is just kind of their ethos. If their ethos is a little bit Giants-y, where they put together this team in the preseason, not in the preseason, during the offseason, and they have an idea for what this team should be, and if it's not what the team is at the deadline, going, okay, well, let's wait it out. Let's see, because we still got a couple of months. We're on the cusp of the playoffs. If a couple of things really turn and go right, then we can make this push, and I think that's what the Giants are doing right now. Is looking in there going, well, Blake Snell hasn't been around all year and certainly hadn't been himself all year. Well, now he looks like himself.
Mm-hmm.
And Robbie Ray is back. And Robbie Ray wasn't great last night, but he was really good in his first start against the Dodgers. Okay, so now you got Logan Webb and you got Hayden Birdsong. And now, okay, you see the rotation. Now you just got to kind of mix and match the pieces offensively and you're going to be good. I do wonder if that's the King's approach to this.
No, it very well could be. You know, that's... I think when you put together a team, like you want to feel like you've given it enough of an opportunity.
Yeah, definitely.
But an 82 game season, especially when you have a coaching staff that's looking at every five games and trying to win every five games, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're like you have the coaching side of it, you have the grand scheme franchise mm-hmm. side of it, right? there has to be some sort of conversation, like, all the time about, hey, where's this thing going? Let's check in. You know, are we at, you know, 65% of who we think we can be? Are we at 85%? You know, like, where are we as a team? And what do we need? How can we change this thing? How can we make this better? And you have to be willing to, I don't think gamble, but you have to be willing to make a move, like, if things aren't right. Mm-hmm. And if everyone from the outside can see that things aren't right, but you're like, hey, we got, you know, Trey Lyles missed the first 13 games of the season. Mm-hmm. Once he's back and he's healthy, maybe he'll be right. Yeah, you saw it the whole year. Mm-hmm. Like, the way the season started, the way the season ended, there was no spike. There mm-hmm. was no, like, you had Sabonis basically at a superstar level the entire season. You had Fox that had, you know, he was a little all over the board, mm-hmm. but still had a great season. You had Keegan Murray, who had a really rough start and kind of came back and then had a sort of a weak finish. You had Malik Monk, who was a stable factor. There's all of these things that you're watching the whole time. You got to figure out ways to smooth out some of that and wait. And maybe the deals aren't there, but we can't keep saying for year after year after year that, well, the deal wasn't there. Maybe the deal wasn't there. It's like, okay, well, then maybe you need to change what you're looking for in your deal. Because if you can't get what you think you can get from with the players that you're offering up, then maybe you need different players. Maybe you need to change the offers that you're making, no matter how difficult that might be. So, yeah, really interesting.
I kind of wonder, because the A's did what the Kings did last year, really, because they're still riding the wave up.
Yeah.
They're still looking at the construct of their roster and the ages and the player control and what the team could look like next year. And they're still on that upward ascension where the Kings were two seasons ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that they stood pat for the most part. Again, they made a couple of minor deals, but the core of what, if this version of the A's is going to make the playoffs, they kept that core intact.
Yeah.
Let me rephrase. If this version of the A's is going to make the playoffs at some time in the next couple of years, not this year, but at some time in the next couple of years, they kept that core intact. And honestly, I wonder two things. One, was there some kind of mandate for the front office that said, unless you are getting the world for Brent Rooker, do not trade him. Unless you are getting two MLB-ready, all-star potential guys for Mason Miller, do not move him.
Yeah.
Because they are coming to a new city. And are they going to start spending money hand over fist in Sacramento? I don't think so. But there needs to be you got to have something. And so I wonder if there was that kind of mandate, or if it was just David Force, the GM, looking at kind of what we're talking about, going, hey, this team is fourth in the league in home runs and they're having a great time and it's not a good team, but it's at least a fun team. And if they could get some outs, they'd be a really good team.
Yeah.
This is a club that we can, for an inexpensive price, move forward with next year and make a couple adjustments in the offseason. Yeah, maybe make a playoff push. I maybe it was just that.
Yeah, I can look at, I mean, we can turn it a million different ways. I just know that when I read sort of like the talking heads after, you know, the grades, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they give the A's a losing grade.
A B minus is not a losing grade.
Well, like I
ESPN, shout out to Sac State, stingers up.
But ESPN gave them a losing, they put them as part of the losers, right?
Oh, because they didn't trade their dudes.
Yeah, the Giants and the A's. And then they start talking about, well, hey, look, Brett Rooker's almost 30. It's like, okay, but he just got to the bigs. Like, you gambled on a guy who had not been able to figure it out in other spots. He's figured it out. You still have team control for like 3 or 4 more years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why not? Why not give this an opportunity? And last time I checked, this is in baseball. That's your prime.
Mm-hmm.
Like, 28 to like 33 is your prime in baseball. Mm-hmm.
Especially for a DH.
Yeah, why not like live out his prime and you know, have the opportunity to walk into Sutter Health Park, sell out every game, build some sort of positive mm-hmm. momentum for your franchise, which you have zero. You have zero positive momentum at all.
Mm-hmm.
like outside of guys like us who watch too many games, like people don't know who, you know, Lawrence Butler is. They don't know who Tyler Soderstrom are or Zach Geloff. They and they don't care, right? But when it's your team, you're like, you're into it. So I just feel like there does come a point where, like, you do need some positivity with this franchise. Like, they're moving. They're relocating. And not relocating once, twice in the next 4 years. Maybe. We'll see. We'll see what happens. But at the same time, like, I would love to see what Brent Rooker looks like at Sutter Hill Field. Can he hit 50 jacks?
Here's the other thing with the A's being deadline losers and getting a B-minus because they didn't trade Rooker. Teams will want Brent Rooker in the offseason too.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to have value.
Yep.
So I wouldn't, I don't know. I hope he stays.
Yeah, I hope he does too. And I hope that they actually invest, even if it's a little bit, in what they're doing right now, just so... Like, even if it's just, like, picking up arbitration years and actually, like, having a guy make a little bit of money. There's no one on this team that makes any money at all right now. And you're looking at me like, that's never going to happen. Like, I agree.
Never say never. I'm skeptical.
No, I am too.
I hope
too.
So. Yeah. Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
I'm not putting it out into the ether that I think the A's are going to suddenly start spending money.
Oh, no. And I'm not saying spend big money. But, like, for a guy who's a DH and hits home runs, you might be able to keep him in Oakland, Sacramento, Las Vegas, wherever you are, for the next 3 or 4 years. And then there could come a point where you're like, okay, look, we're reaching that point where he's going to need that other contract that we're not going to pay. And maybe you can keep him, maybe you can't. I mean, kind of feels like the Chris Davis situation, where you got a guy who's hitting home runs through his prime. Just crushing, and then there's an expiration date, and you know it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We'll see, man. We'll see. At least for me, it was watching two teams, one that looked like they're having a good time playing baseball, and somebody didn't just sucker punch them at the deadline, and another who just felt like the inactivity just, like, wiped out any hope, any joy from the rest of the season. And maybe they'll bounce back. I don't know.
A Giants fan on Twitter yesterday saying that the Giants aren't a bad offensive team. They're in the top half in all these categories. And then they started listing categories and they were like, they're 12th, 13th, 14th, 14th, 11th. Hey, that's pretty mid, man. That's pretty close to middle of the pack.
Yeah.
If the 49ers ranked 13th in something, I would write that they are middle of the pack in that stat.
Well, even the Kings had the 14th rated defense.
Yeah, top half defense.
But there's a big difference when, you know, eight teams make the playoffs in each side, and like it's not, there's not talking about play-ins. Like,
yeah.
It's a big difference.
Yeah. Bad vibes. A's and Giants play again tonight. The A's won 5-2 last night. They had four dingers. We'll talk about that coming up in a bit. We've got some Team USA and Olympics to get to. The Team USA women's footy team up 1-0 on Australia at the half. We'll also give you that keyword for our Rivercats game again coming up. And a Kings internet rumor. We got to get to that as well. We'll talk about it on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.